Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We don't know where Thomas was on that day when Jesus appeared to the disciples in the upper room. Maybe he'd gone out for food. Maybe he just needed to get away to clear his head after all the horrific scenes that he had seen. For whatever reason, he was not there when Jesus appeared to the other disciples. And he sounds very left out. Thomas, we've come to know as Doubting Thomas, actually a misnomer, I think. He's only mentioned a few times in Scripture, and he only speaks three times, all in John's Gospel. But what he says reveals a lot about his character, maybe different than what we might assume. The first time that we hear Thomas speak in Scripture, Jesus is about to go to Bethany to visit his friend Lazarus, who is deathly ill, and in fact, Jesus will go and raise Lazarus from the dead. The disciples are aware that there are plots swirling around to kill Jesus, and that if he went to Bethany, close to Jerusalem, he could possibly get arrested and be killed. So they try to warn him, but Thomas pipes up and says, "Let us also go with him so that we may die with him." Thomas is no coward. He's not afraid of death. The second time we hear from him, Jesus is with the disciples at the Last Supper, and Jesus is trying to prepare them for the events that were about to come, his arrest and his cruel crucifixion. And he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. I am going to prepare a place for you, and I will come again, and I will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also." And Thomas speaks up, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way?" It's a perfectly logical question to an obscure statement. Thomas is a man who is honest and straightforward, and he wants clarity. He wants to see what it's all about. So his response is totally in character when Jesus appears to the other disciples, but not to Thomas. He says that, "I will not believe unless I see Jesus for myself, until I touch his wounds and see that he is real." Thomas just needs to see Jesus for himself. Jesus had been brutally killed in a way that defies description. Thomas wants to see the risen Jesus for himself. So a week later, on cue, Jesus comes again and appears. This time Thomas is present. Jesus shows the marks of his crucifixion on his hands and his side. And it's all the reassurance that Thomas needs. He responds, "My Lord and my God." In a way, he affirms his faith. There's a lot of that going on around here this weekend. We have 18 young people who will be affirming their faith. Thomas just needed to see Jesus for himself. And in that confession of faith, "My Lord and my God," he really understands who Jesus is. And it's a lesson for us as well. "My Lord," he says. A Lord is someone who can call the shots in your life. A Lord is one who has authority over you, where you go, what you do, what your values are, what your life is all about. Jesus is Lord to Thomas. And he's also my God. Thomas gets it, that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. He is God in human flesh. God has come to be with us, even in the pain. Even in crucifixion, even in death, Jesus is God coming to be with us and to give us new life. So Thomas's response is full of faith. He reaffirms this faith and his personal commitment, "My Lord and my God." Tradition tells us that Thomas put that into action. He went to India, we're told, to be a missionary, and there he gave his life. For him, Jesus is Lord and God. And all he needed was a little reassurance. He wanted to see Jesus, and it affirmed his faith. So what about us? Wouldn't we like to see Jesus for ourselves? Jesus goes on to say, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Of course, you and I are not likely to see Jesus in physical form among us, but still, don't we also long to see the risen Jesus, to be aware of his presence, to see ways in our lives that he makes a difference? There's a bit of Thomas in all of us, I think, which needs just some reassurance that this flesh and blood reality we call Jesus is real and with us and in control of events in our lives, that following him is really worth the effort and the cost. We need to be reassured that Jesus is there for us. The days are long gone when people came to church out of habit or fear or social conformity or simply because there's nothing better to do on a Sunday morning. Those days are long gone. Society has changed hugely. In many ways, it is a challenge to be a Christian in today's world. It requires real strength of conviction and character to swim against the tide of our culture. To be a practicing Christian is really difficult these days, at least our variety of Christian. One who loves others, is open and welcome to those who are different, one who believes in grace, not condemnation. So what is it that draws people back? What draws people to Good Shepherd? What draws 18 young people to be eager to reaffirm their faith? What brings them here? When I talk to new people joining, and they happen to come through our doors pretty frequently these days, when I talk to them, I hear that they get a glimpse of Jesus among us in this place. They've caught a glimpse of the risen Christ in Christian community. They've found love and welcome and forgiveness and new possibilities and purpose and an opportunity to serve and to really make a difference. Those are all the things that those first disciples found in Jesus. And in a way, people find them here. There's a hint, there's a glimpse of the risen Christ among us. There's a popular saying, it was attributed to Gandhi, but I don't think that's really true. The saying is, we need to be the change we want to see. Well, let me paraphrase that for our purposes. We need to be the Christ we want others to see. The risen Christ comes into our presence today in each other, in this place, in this community. We each have countless opportunities to let people see Jesus in us. Whether we choose to tear others down or build them up, whether we choose to hoard the gifts that God has given us or to live generously, whether we forgive or hold grudges, people see, and hopefully they see Jesus, the risen Christ, in us. Imagine what a wonderful responsibility, what a wonderful gift that is, that we are able to let Christ shine through us to those around us. Through us, the risen Christ can be seen and give life and hope where there was none. We do that here at Good Shepherd, and I dare to brag a little bit, but this place deserves a little braggadocio once in a while. There are numerous ways in which this community, you all, are the Christ that others long to see. You strive together to follow Christ, grow in faith, and share God's love, and you do it day after day, week after week, in this place, and in the world, and in your lives every day, providing opportunities for people to see the love of Christ in how you live, and how your values are ordered. This kind of Christian witness isn't easy. If it was, there'd be more of us. But it is significant that Thomas, in our story, needed to see and touch the wounds of Jesus before he could believe. It's also significant that Jesus chose to come and twice show his wounds to those disciples to assuage their doubts. What's that all about? Well, the resurrection story doesn't Photoshop the pain and suffering out of the story. It's a fact that Jesus was so appallingly, horribly hurt and still loved and still forgave. That's so powerful. And that very same thing exists in us. We are wounded. We are hurt. We are broken people. And yet Christ lives in and through us. When people see us, it's not that we're paragons of virtue or that our lives are so slick and everything is working smoothly. No, it's because we're broken and we are hurting, and yet Christ is alive in us, in how we have hope for the future, how we have love and forgiveness and life, as Jesus did. Maybe we might think that poor old Thomas was lucky that he got to see Jesus in the flesh. Wouldn't it be easier for people to believe if he appeared in our midst? Maybe so. But the truth is, he does. Still, day after day, week after week, in this place, in each of you, Christ is in you and us and around us, and people can see him in what we do and how we live, like Jesus did. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.